Hey everyone, welcome to More Than Mises, guys. We are returning to The Enemy Within, the first installment of Simon Furman's writing for Transformers. And I am real excited to get into this because it's a story that I've never read before. It's never in the American comics, as I was pointed out last week. So thank you for that. And Boo, welcome back, man.
Howdy.
I know you have a busy schedule, so I'm glad you were able to get in here.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, let's get right into this. We start off with a letters column, which includes a suggestion to make sweets out of the Transformers characters.
Sweet, sweet Transformers.
Man, I'm not gonna eat an orange Optimus Prime. I'm just not gonna do it.
You know, they eventually got to this, you know, what they said they wanted, yeah, Orange Optimus Prime, Strawberry Skywarp, and Raspberry Rumble. I mean,
It sounds like a like an offshoot of the Count Chocula line of cereals,
well, I was thinking like BotBots, where they've got the little the food and like dessert transformers and stuff like that. So
Actually, yeah.
they eventually got to this. It took them,
It took them 40 years,
yeah, but they
but here
got
we
to
are. They got to
it.
it eventually. Man, I'm so disappointed. Of all the Transformers they could have had a fact file on, they added on Humph the Cat.
A very obscure transformer.
I don't want it. I don't want to collect it. I'm okay with not having it.
Well, that's the nature of this issue because it's the April Fool's issue.
Yeah, it is. And once I realize that, I'm like, okay, I get that.
Yeah.
But
They had some fun with this one.
speaking of April Fools, you saw the exchange letters?
Oh, yeah.
Some were pretty decent, but what was it you pointed out to me? The one Rumble for Sideswipe?
Oh yeah, the swap meet
The swap
personals.
meet.
Yeah, that was who was it? There, oh, there it is. Oh, come on, I lost my place. Okay, yeah, Bobby Dickerson. It's like he had an April Fool's joke. He wanted to trade Rumble for someone's sideswipe.
That's
And it's
pretty
like,
ballsy. I gotta give it to him.
yeah, that's
You miss all the shots you don't take, right?
right, I mean that's a deal that Swindle would be proud of.
Maybe if you did Rumble and Ravage together, maybe.
Oh yeah, well, like right above him, Damian Oliver asked for a Ravage, and he trades you a Buzzsaw, which
Yeah, it
that's
came with
fair.
Soundwave, so yeah,
Yeah,
that's fair.
but yeah, man, that's that Bobby Dickerson, he's a wheeler dealer
Yeah.
there.
Man, so we get back into Chromabots.
Oh, well, before that though, I wanted to make note of the Critics Corner,
Oh,
where
please do.
Mark Short wrote in, and he had like a basically like a list of demands, and number one was, will you please exterminate Johnny Black for his pathetic robot roundup? You are wasting two precious pages. Like right off the bat, I'm like, man, somebody's got some hate for robot roundup, and that's like half our material on here.
Really
It's
is
Robot
in this.
Roundup.
That's not going to change anybody.
Well, until Robot Roundup's gone.
Oh, dang, yeah. Honestly, I kind of enjoy it because during that time, during the 80s, robots were all the rage. We're like making really bad progress, but still, it was a big thing.
Oh yeah, I grabbed like every robot book that came out like at the book fair and
Oh yeah, and yeah, we always did that kind of stuff. I mean, I had the both versions of the Radio Shack Armatron, where
oh
you could
yeah.
stack things. The one that had the claw, and then the
Yeah.
one that had like a robot with a bigger claw, like a, I don't know, it was like a. It was almost like a shell claw, but the one that had the original, it had like the three claw things.
Yeah, I've got
Yeah.
that one around here somewhere.
Oh yeah, they're fantastic, and they're slow and meandering, but for the time, those were great.
It always reminds me of clamps from Futurama.
It kind of does
You want me to
actually.
get them with these clamps that I have right
Let
here,
me use the
boss?
clamps on them. Man, yeah, I'm so glad no one got me a Shack Wave, instead got me those.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways.
I had that one too. That was
Of course
actually
you
my
did.
first Shockwave, was the gray one with the
Yeah.
red eye and all that.
Yeah, those are great now. The Astro Magnums.
Yeah. And
Now
what's
look
the
at
other
how much
one?
they are.
Yeah, there was another name for it. Oh, Galactic Man.
Galactic Man. That's actually the one I remember seeing. I know
Yeah.
Astro Magnum now, this, because it's, you see like five or six different versions of them out now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
So,
they licensed the crap out of that toy.
Everyone had a little piece of Shockwave or Galactic. Right. Man.
Well, and now there's like a Gen Selects version.
Yeah, I've got it actually.
Yeah. So that's funny. And, you know, they kind of referenced it in Transformers Animated. With Long Arm, he was gray.
That's right. That's right. He was. That's right.
Yeah.
I bring him down, but I don't want to knock down half the Transformers on my shelf right now, trying to get him. But yeah, that's right. He was. When they first brought in Transformers Animated Long Arm, I really didn't dig it. But then that joke made sense after a while.
Yeah. And then finally, when his cover was blown, he turned purple.
Yeah. You know, a good excuse to release two of the same toy, different colors.
Oh, yeah. He was his own recolor.
He was. With good reason, too. Right. It's not like Punch Counterpunch. Look out, I hear my counterpart is nearby. Real nearby.
Real subtle there.
Yeah. Go in the hallway and transform. Thanks, buddy, your critic.
He didn't even do the Wonder Woman turnaround.
No, he didn't, actually.
He just stepped out the door.
He stepped out the door and turned around. That's all he did. But back to Chromabots.
Oh, boy.
Dudley is taking our Greek robot, Mikros, along in a shopping bag and having a conversation. obvious enough that some 70s male porn actor walking with a woman notices.
That dude, right, that's Stash, dude. I think that's another Stan Lee cameo.
It looks like it. He has like that that I don't know the names of the 70s male porn actors. I'm sorry. I don't remember them right now.
They're all dead now, so it doesn't matter.
He looks like one of them I've ever seen when I was a kid. But yeah.
And like every cop from now.
Well, yeah, actually was like the like couple of cops are going to see in this issue. But suddenly a homeless-looking guy in a suit accosts Dudley.
Dude, a creeper. He, like, starts touching all over him, too. It's like...
He does.
Bad touch.
Stranger danger.
Right?
This should have been a PSA in the comic.
Yeah, Bumblebee should, like, interrupt and be like, hey, don't talk to strangers.
He has the equivalent Harry Potter, Ron Weasley had the dress robes. It looked like the equivalent of that, but in a suit. It's like he looked at some guy going to a Shriner's ball, and that was the suit he had when he was 20. And he's still wearing the same suit. Yeah, this is it's special.
Yeah, I mean he looks kind of like Keith Richards.
He kind of does, actually. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, less lines on his face. But that's
like Keith Richards now, yeah.
yeah.
But yeah, the fingerless gloves and all that, I mean, they went straight for the Victorian era vagabond, you know?
He really did.
He needed like the crushed top hat with like the patch on it.
This guy should have just hopped off a train car and gone after him.
Right? Eating like peas with a knife. And
With a sling over his shoulder on a stick.
Right?
I got hard times. The depression got me down.
He's still recovering from the 30s.
he looks like he was actually. I used to live in Long Island. He gets away from the guy, Dudley. He gets away from the guy and runs off. But the guy drops his disguise and we see he's another Chromabot.
Yeah.
Like, huge.
He's like a human-sized Chromabot.
And his name is Transmute.
Yeah. He's looking for Mikros.
Yeah, yeah. Let me go get
some gyros.
some tzatziki and some Mikros.
And that's where that ends. Enough said. I'm telling you, it's like that. That's got to be Stan Lee cameo again.
It's got to be like a full on Matt and the Cats length comic,
right?
But the next page is fan art that's pretty impressive of the artist, especially the guy who did Machine Man.
That was the thing I noticed too. It's like that's like super detailed, like anatomical, like cutaway of Machine Man.
That's like Megatron in the '86 movie,
right? He's very Terminator looking.
Oh, he very much is. I mean,
he's got that T-800 skull going in there.
Oh yeah, they just use that artist in the Machine Man comic. I might have a lot less to complain about.
Right. But... that that's Steve Ditko over there, and like this kid is like,
it's like Steve who's
Andrew
like,
Price had some talent. They should have hired him up.
Oh, by the way, it reminds me. I meant to talk about this at the beginning. We have our first Spotify question on one of the episodes. Oh. Actually, it was on this last episode. It wasn't really a question, more like a suggestion. They want us to review Age of Extinction. So,
oh yeah,
we'll get to that. We'll get to that for sure. I want to let you know I read the comment, and we'll get on that. But also, I was a little butthurt about this one. The guy gave us a pretty low rating, which is why I tell everyone the ratings matter. You know, you give a 5-star rating, we hope, because we're not a big show. We don't get a lot of ratings, so every little bit helps. But this guy gave us 2-star rating, and I think as we're talking about Ed and I, like how these guys don't like any of the characters. Why they always complain about the characters? Okay, look, honestly, if I hated the show and I hated all the characters, I would not be doing this. This is a labor of love. It's a labor of love for all of us. And so, yeah, we actually love the characters. Look, the girl, Astoria, the girl who loved Powerglide, Astoria's a terrible character. I like Powerglide a lot. I liked a lot of the season 2 Autobots. Powerglide's a big favorite. Warpath's a big favorite. And we haven't even gotten some of the better season 2 characters. So, I'm not going to name you or anything like that, but you know, if you still listen, I understand the concern. I just wanted to say that I personally, I know Boo the same way, and I know Ed actually really likes the show. We just hit the bottom of the Mariana Trench of quality episodes of season 2. It's just like we're scraping the bottom of the barrel here. We're trying to dig out. And Triple Takeover is going to be starting to claw our way out of there. But I think personally, I believe the girl who loved Powerglide and Sea Change are at the bottom of the trench. Once we get past those, it'll be so much better. So concerns are noted. And this is another little PSA for if you like the show, drop us a like, drop us an email, drop a rating. It makes a huge difference because we are not a very big show. So thank you so much for that. And speaking of that, I want to say thanks to everyone who listens, because we blew past 10,000 downloads. We've been doing really well with all that. So it's definitely felt out there that people are listening. And so I thank you all. And please, little messages, like the little Spotify question, emails, anything like that, join the Discord. Awesome, awesome stuff. So thank you so much for doing that. We don't make any money of this. This is more of a labor of love, and it probably will continue to be until whatever it happens and down the road. But thanks, thanks for the criticism, but I assure you we don't hate all the characters. Anyways, moving on.
I do, but I'm hopelessly addicted, so I have no choice. Yeah.
That's true. You need your fix.
I know. There's no Transformers rehab, so I'm just going along with the addiction.
Yeah, I know. I know that feeling.
There's no escape.
Yeah, but we open the issue with a nicely drawn Ravage who is pissed off.
Oh, that is an angry kitty.
That is a very mad. No. That cat's going to eat you in the middle of the night. He's going to eat your face off. That's how pissed off the Ravage is.
Yeah, and that's Mike Collins' artwork there.
Yeah,
you might remember him from Man of Iron.
Yeah, you were telling me offline that he was one of the main artists for Man of Iron. So it's not Ridgeway this time. But like, I'll let you tell me what you're talking about with Ridgeway.
Oh, I was reading that John Ridgeway actually created, I guess, some of the character models they were using in the UK, since they didn't have the character models from the US. And he just based them on the toys. He drew the toys and they kept using them. And then, it was Mike Collins and there was another colleague. They met up with Bob Budiansky, and he gave them the show Bible and the actual like character models. So that's why they show up later and they start to look like, you know, the character models we all know.
Yeah.
But I'm really enjoying the toy drawings here. I mean, especially now that, you know, we've got the Missing Link stuff.
Yeah, actually that really makes it a lot better. I really hope to see some of the Autobot cars as Missing Link figures, like Sideswipe,
yeah,
Sunstreaker. I'm really curious. We were talking about this recently about how Ironhide and Ratchet are going to look. Are they going to have an option?
Oh, yeah.
Make them look like the original figures and just, you know, have them more posable. I'm kind of curious if they're going to do the rest of the mini bots. I've already got my pre-order for Cliffjumper and Bumblebee going.
So like a Missing Link Gears and Brawn.
Oh man, imagine a Missing Link Huffer that actually doesn't have his arms like this.
Right.
So it'd be really cool. I hope they do something more like things like that. But I mean, especially since Gears is getting a lot of love right now with the Legacy release of him.
Oh, well, and with Ravage had a lot of articulation as it was. If you can like get his legs where they'd open up a little more, like give him some shoulder joints. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot you could already do with him. He wouldn't need a whole lot of changing.
Oh, no, probably the knees more than anything else.
Yeah, maybe like an ab crunch or something.
Yeah, maybe like a little thing where you can move the head up and down a little more.
But yeah, side to side.
Yeah, something like that.
And that's mainly what it needs. He needs, like, I guess, the Z axis.
Yeah, widening the legs a little bit instead of being like straight, because that's where he like suffers. He falls over sideways because the legs are like this. So if you're going to have him like, so you can have a little wide stance, that'd solve all the issues, I think.
Yeah.
But he's pissed off at Starscream for not finishing him off. He's like, yeah, you left me. Now you're going to pay for what you did. And he tries his best to make it back so he can get back at Starscream. But I mean, he collapses in the desert. He's too beat up.
All we needed was him like asking for water.
Yeah, exactly. Water.
But he's doing that trope, crawling through the desert.
Except he's just beaten up. He's buried. I mean, he got out of being buried under rocks. So, but Megatron flies down and demands to know what Autobot damaged him. And he's like, nah, wasn't an Autobot. This is all Starscream.
You know that guy you just sent me to go watch?
And like, there's behind Starscream, you see like, I want to say it's Thundercracker, Skywarp, and like Rumble. They're back there going,
oh yeah, behind Megatron. Yeah.
Oh no, he didn't. Yes. He did.
They've got the shocked face.
They shouldn't have been shocked. Starscream. They just met each other. Come on.
Well, I mean, he. I don't know. they really shouldn't be that surprised by
it. No, character traits aside, I mean, he should know it.
Starscream.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh my stars and garters.
They're clutching their pearls back there is what they're doing.
They really are. And I think it was Frenzy or Rumble who was like, man, no, he's not wrong. Was that Frenzy?
It was one of them.
Yeah. Like, you know, I understand what he's saying, but he's not wrong either. And like now he's like, oh no, he beat up Ravage.
And, you know, I'm catching shades of what we've got now with the Skybound, because, I mean, Starscream has no love for Ravage in the new comic.
No, and then
There's some payback for that, too.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil it for anyone who has not been current. But, so back in the Oregon Air Force Base 4 Alpha, that is a mouthful. Starscream continues to lay waste and is wondering why the Autobots haven't shown up yet. Like, you know, he's just having fun shooting jets out of the sky and like laying waste to all the ground forces.
Oh yeah, he's playing G.I. Joe with them.
He is. He's playing G.I. Joe, but he has the can of paint in the, you know, in a lighter, pretty much.
He's throwing the M80s at them.
Yeah, he is. But then we go back to the Ark, and there's a discussion about Brawn and what he tried to do. You know, they're like, hey, okay, enough. Let's tell me exactly what happened. And they start going like, well, you know, he was helping me and he got shocked real bad. I wonder if that's when it started. Mirage has to know when it started. There's no way he can know.
Well, he started to tell him something else about himself and Optimus cut him off. So
No. Just tell me what happened.
Yeah. But I think there's something else going on with Mirage too. Because he says, I found that and Optimus just cut him off. And it's like, huh?
Yeah, I almost, is he a traitor?
No, I don't think it's that.
I know.
He got a Bobo.
Yeah.
And Sideswipe's head's looking more Sideswipe-ish, but yeah, I mean, it's
for one thing, it's not silver and like, oh, looks like it, like the last issue, it looked like a bullet. Like it was just all silver and like conical.
Yeah.
At least it's black and he's starting to have the antenna things on the side of his head. It's starting to Congeal look more like Sideswipe.
He still has a little bit of that Mandalorian helmet.
Yeah, he does.
To his face, but
he does.
Yeah, it's getting there.
Yeah. But I mean, Optimus yells enough, you know, about, you know, he just wants all the talking to stop. He wants to hear what happened. And they, so my notes, Sideswipe's head is looking better.
Yeah.
Man, also, I gotta say, I'm really digging Collins's, his Optimus head art. The head.
That is straight off the toy, man.
It is.
That is. It looks good. It is
100%. It's got the very, it's very curved and has a very pointed face mask. It looks very samurai, like the toy does look.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a very thin eye slits too, and they're like always burning bright, the eyes.
Well, and the light details just for like the edges and the creases in his head and stuff. Look, it's great work, very detailed.
Yeah, all this Collins's work, you can tell, is really is really exemplifying the line art in this, and the coloring is really doing its job with this too. Coloring's accentuating all the really good line art, just like it is with Ridgeway last issue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think when you look at the American comics, you see like possibly a lot of it was really good line art, but you can't tell because it's so blotched with Yamtov's coloring.
Here. Yeah, he did it like with the, I guess, more even tones across everything. Like it's just one big block of color behind the inks.
Yeah,
whereas Collins here, he does like subtle tones to give you like the gradation in the metal. So you get like that metal texture in it. It's very good.
Which is why the line art works without the color so well in this. But remember back in this small town of St. Petersburg, and I didn't look. Is there a St. Petersburg, Oregon? Because the only St. Petersburg I know is in Florida, and that was a far way for him to go. So it must be somewhere in Oregon or Washington State.
Yeah, I need to look that up, actually.
I meant to look it up earlier. Back in the small town of St. Petersburg, George Lucas tells Mabel that he'll be back in an hour. Tell me this doesn't look like George Lucas.
Oh, yeah.
Mabel, I'll be back in an hour. but Prawn goes nuts and races to terrorize people driving, causing a bad accident. I mean, Prawn just goes in there with a chip on his shoulder about the people driving cars. But we are back to the line art again. And there's a super nice detailed reflection in the police officer's aviator shades. He's looking at the accident, like you can see it on the shades. Really nice detail. But he goes to take care. He's going to like check on the accident, but the other cop with him. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, George Lucas there, man. He did a rollover head on collision.
Yeah. That's
right.
I had to rebuild, Mark Hamill for Luke this way.
Right.
Yeah.
The Wampa got him.
Yeah, he did.
There is a Petersburg, Oregon. That's like
okay.
Near the border with Washington, but.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, just outside of Portland.
That would make sense. Okay. So Petersburg, we'll go.
But not a St. Petersburg.
Yeah, they probably like just like it was Mount St. Hillary. They probably just changed a little bit. So St. Petersburg. Okay.
They makes fudged it.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Braun has gotten into his head that humans have enslaved other Transformers because George Lucas is driving this car.
Right. And, you know, that was like a major, I guess, character component to Tailgate.
Mm hmm.
And that's why I was like, this is like early Tailgate stuff, which, you know, they never really used Tailgate in anything.
No, they didn't. He was, honestly, he was just a recolored Wind Charger. They didn't even use Wind Charger enough, as far as I'm concerned. So, I mean, Tailgate would have been like, you know.
Oh, he had great comedy potential because it would talk about how he would like try to free appliances from like stores and people's houses and stuff.
That would have been great. Oh, so, that would have been fantastic. Thing in the Bay movies when they started have the AllSpark bits go out and
Sam's Kitchen,
exactly.
Everybody or Dispensor,
or the Nokia phone.
Oh yeah,
let me free you,
man. Yeah, he goes off on his cop though. Insolent human, you dare threaten when he pulls him over.
the cop pulls him over. It's RK fruitcake out of the car now.
Yeah.
Who talks like that? I don't know.
Oregon cops.
Or Oregon cops, as far as British writers are concerned.
You got to remember, I don't know, maybe it's still like that, but I know for the longest time, you couldn't even pump your own gas in Oregon.
Still can't.
Still can't? Okay, yeah. They still don't trust. So
They have a guy hanging out by the gas pumps ready to pump your gas when you show up.
I got Goober Pyle out there waiting to help you out.
Apparently, they made decent money with tips and stuff, so good on them, I guess.
Right?
Honestly,
I don't want to pump my gas.
Oh, I don't either. I hate doing that. So the cop flees, man. Oh, yeah. So Braun Transformers freaks out the officer who shoots his service revolver to no effect. He's like, I'm not shooting. I'm shooting and not doing anything to this guy. Well, yeah. So the cop leaves, and Braun's like trying to convince the car, you're free now.
Right.
Yeah, rescued you.
Go on, you stupid dog. Get.
You're free now. I done cut your chain. But, man, when it doesn't do anything, Braun says, you ungrateful imbecile. If you want to take that freedom, take this brand. Or that if you want to take that brand of freedom, take this brand. He smashes the car. He just starts beating up everyone's car because it won't, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It won't.
He just goes to a parking lot.
Yeah.
He is no Django.
No, he's not. You don't want to be free? Well, I'll kill you all.
he's freeing them all, right?
He's unchained for sure.
Yep. Freeing him from that mortal coil.
Yeah. But then we get back to Starscream, who is having a fun time dogfighting with the Air Force jets.
Oh, yeah. He's just playing with them.
No, he's having fun. And like there was even a like thing where some homing missiles lock onto him. So he leads him back to the jet that shot him.
Yeah. He was like, oh, boy.
I'll take you back to where you came from.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not even going to dodge him. Here. Bring him back. And pilot is not happy.
No, I would say not. But he's been like, the news camera guys have been like watching it for an hour. He's just been up there having fun.
Right. I mean, we can't get news that good where they're like watching a literal dogfight live.
Yeah, just a coup. Then he flies over, transforms, and tells the Autobots that unless they face him, he'll destroy all human life there. So.
Oh, yeah. He goes full General Zod here.
He does.
Have humans. You no one to even challenge me?
They have this really quick aside back of the arc where Prime proclaims that he's seen enough and they must be stopped. It's supposed to like clue you in, like maybe you're watching the news. But back in St. Petersburg, Braun is laying waste and someone yells at him, you must not do any more harm. Now, I don't know any Decepticon who ever sounds like that, so we pretty much telegraph who this is.
Yeah.
Back in Oregon 4 Alpha, Starscream is laying waste and the voice demands he turn and face them. But it's not the Autobots like he wanted. It's Megatron, the rest of the Decepticons, and Primes that are there with the other Autobots showing up for Braun.
But did you see how Furman plotted this? He was going back and forth between Braun and Starscream, and it was like increasingly short sections until they're running parallel.
Yeah.
Until you get to the twist.
There was a lot of jumping around because you want to think everything's happening at the same time. And that little quick back to Prime saying like I've seen enough, we got to stop this. You're supposed to wonder like, is he talking about Starscream? And you go back and forth, and then it leads to this. It's done as two columns and revealed at the bottom who's there actually to see them.
It was a red herring, but
yeah, it was. You know, as us now, we were like, I knew what's going on. But as kids, you were like, oh no, it's happening.
Yeah, back then you still weren't sure who the characters were.
Yeah, this is only issue, you know, what, 14?
14, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, they could have pulled a Megatron's master plan with, you know, stop the evil Autobots. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And if the Decepticons had actually shown up to stop Braun, do you know how confused everyone would have been?
That would have been a good aside.
Right?
We're take a little break. Actually, to be continued. I'm sorry.
Yeah, to be continued here.
There's an advert for the Doctor Who 100th issue, which is a super poster with all the Time Lords and a review of the 6 Time Lords and more. To kind of give you an idea where we are in time also. So you have the 6 Doctors there, 100th issue of the Doctor Who comic. That's kind of neat. You know, I like seeing those time capsules.
Yeah, what are we on, like the 14th Doctor now?
Yeah, I think so.
15th, maybe? I don't know.
No,
14th. I've lost count.
Okay, depends on you ask. Man, I don't know.
I'd have to look it up.
I'm a little behind on all that, so it's good that we're talking about this here because I know
15th Doctor, I think now.
15th, okay,
I'm thinking about it.
Ed does not like Doctor Who. So, Listener who wrote that review, he's not here. We're not going to hate on him. So we're back to Machine Man.
Oh, yeah.
Boy. And Snake Marson has them all coiled up.
Oh, yeah. And X-51 pulls the old torso twist on him.
He unlocks his waist couplings and starts spinning.
Right? He's got like the cyclone.
He does.
Yeah.
He's a little red tornado.
Like Masters of the Universe, and you cyclone, you spin a little wheel.
That's right.
Yeah.
So yeah, he has Marson fly off from centrifugal force, which, by the way, a little side note here. I'm so glad that we have spell checks on our documents, because I was just not typing centrifugal force correctly. But luckily, a word that I probably typed out no other times in my life got fixed. But Hammer Harrison pounds him with his diamond hard steel fists. Except he says he's hitting the walking scrap heap with titanium gloves.
Yeah, so what is it now? They're not diamond steel anymore. They're titanium.
I mean, it sounds like he's downgraded.
Oh, honestly, yeah. I mean, they'd be lighter at least. I mean,
yeah, he should have gone to aircraft titanium, like black box aircraft titanium.
Maybe these are like his speed gloves. That's why titanium.
So he's
lighter.
A little faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, titanium, the very lightest of metals.
Man, they're just literal bricks on his hands.
That's all they are, man. He's like he put gloves in a little brick mold of cement, pulled them out, and that's his whole shtick. He's a terrible, terrible henchman.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, yeah, he's just got handles on him. I mean, that's got to be just hard on your hands, regardless.
I mean, at least Snake Marston is kind of interesting. He's like knockoff, Mr. Fantastic, and Hammer Harrison is the dude with blocks on his fists.
I mean, if they'd gone with like vibranium or something, then he'd be like, oh wow, yeah, that would hurt getting hit with a block of vibranium.
It Amazing. Would, and but yeah,
vibranium kind of does whatever you want it to do.
Yeah, it's a MacGuffin.
Yeah.
It's like God
metal guffin,
yeah, like adamantium. Like adamantium was very rare, and all of a sudden everyone had adamantium stuff,
right? It's everywhere now.
Yeah, but so Machine Man gets knocked onto an adjoining roof. He grabs a chimney and dynamite arms and shoves it around Harrison.
Oh yeah, and he does the whole no fair.
Oh yeah, no fair! You cheated.
Just thinking of Gage from Pet Sematary with that one. No fair, no fair.
I mean, it would have been at least interesting if like Machine Man came up with a syringe and like killed Hammer Harrison that way.
And here's something I want you to look at when we're going through this. Who is piloting Brimstone's helicopter?
Okay, same question. But we'll get to that.
We're on the same page here.
I'm yeah. That's very, very... Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, a sinister shout boils in the air as Baron Brimstone monologues at Machine Man while using Pamela Quinn as a hostage. He's a terrible, terrible villain.
He looks like a werewolf that's like half transformed.
Okay, so that's what I was going over the notes next to my wife. And I'm laughing at this issue. I'm like, oh my God. She's like, what? I showed her a picture of my phone because I have the app on my phone to read comics. I showed her a picture. It's like, does this look like a unibrow half-transformed Wolfman to you? She's like, oh my God. I said, yeah, that's the villain. He looks like a bad off strip Vegas magician with a unibrow.
Oh yeah. His eyes have that Innsmouth look.
Yeah, they're really He's been inbred a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah. So he
if he
claims,
was any more inbred, he'd be a sandwich.
Oh. I knew exactly where you're going with that too.
Yeah.
He claims no earthly prison could hold him, but he doesn't want to be captured. So catch Pamela.
He Gwen Stacy's her.
But luckily, Machine Man can do whatever he wants. But the logic here is beautiful. So follow me here. So instead of skating to her and catching her, he removes his left arm, takes time to pre-program the left arm, throws it at her. It wraps around her and negates gravity.
Yeah, he like boomerang bolos her and then has her levitate down.
Why did he just do that to his whole body and fly and save her?
Right?
What? Can he only do that with his left arm? Like, oh, detach my left arm. Tell you, you're going to negate gravity. Now go catch her. And throws it at her. It does the whole dynamite thing around her.
And it's like, I guess every part of his body can negate gravity. It's not like something in his chest or something. It's like,
but not him.
Yeah.
So he's got to use his roller skates. His go, go, get your roller skates. But
oh, man.
Then Dynamutt grabs the crane hook and flips into the side of Baron Brimstone's helicopter. It looks like a Hostess ad.
The physics here is very dubious.
The physics with X-51 is always dubious.
Yeah.
The writing of this. Baron Brimstone sees him coming to the side of the helicopter, and I expect him to say, try these Hostess fruit pies.
Oh, totally. This is totally 100%.
That's like the Hulk showing up.
Yeah.
Like, hey, kids. But Baron Brimstone says some stuff at him and goes, "What? Don't you ever give up?" He sounds like an Amway salesman. Never. I'm very success oriented.
Let me show you the circles.
The dude says that with a straight face.
Oh.
That's the corniest line. And we both read a lot of really bad comics. This is the corniest line I've ever read in a comic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it reads like a Silver Age comic.
Because, I mean, essentially, it's a holdover Silver Age premise kind of character.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah, because, I mean, technically this would be Bronze Age by this point, but it reads like a Silver Age.
Oh, it's awful. It like you said earlier, it reads like a Sunday comic strip.
Yeah.
It's colored like a Sunday comic strip. It's not.
And I mean, as hokey as it is, it's fun. We're still enjoying reading it.
I actually had a lot more fun reading this one than I have the past ones. I'm reading this one, I'm just laughing because it is really bad. It is like something. This is on par with MST3K doing Manus, the Hands of Fate.
Oh yeah,
this is just I would love to. You know, have this as like a show so I could riff on it while it's being all these lines being read.
Well, and in X-51's defense, he's getting more quippy.
Yes.
Because for a while there, all he did was complain.
He did. Yeah, he did. But God, this line though, I want to read in what was it? The Supermutt? What the hell?
Oh, Dynamutt.
I know. No, not Dynamutt. Oh God, I'm trying to think of the character's name. He's like a Superman version of a dog.
Crypto?
Not Crypto. And like Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about, right? You can see it.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Same animation studio did Rocky and Bullwinkle. It's okay, I'll figure it out. Anyways, he would say lines like this. We go, "Never. I'm very success oriented." He would say his lines like that. That's why I read.
Are you thinking like Underdog?
Underdog.
Underdog. Thank God. Okay. Yeah.
Never. I'm very success oriented. Yes.
Yeah.
I read his lines like Underdog, and it makes it so much better. It makes it so much funnier. Anyways, God.
Oh man, this is.
Oh my God, that was killing me. Never fear, Underdog is here. I'll pre-program my left arm and throw it at you. Brimstone six his mooks on X-51 in the helicopter.
The guy in the middle, I think that's Jerry Seinfeld.
That's my notes.
Is it?
They're gonna love my Pop Tarts movie. Aaron Brimstone fires the Soul Mac at him. But thank goodness for our helper here, who's given him gold foil shielding in his head.
Hey, old Gears.
Gears did him a solid, and Gears is ex-fiance. Love, nothing but love. Cold Shield helps him a bit, and he uses his finger to detect the helicopter's power source. He dynamites his right arm out there, and he's like, he's feeling the outside of the helicopter. He's going for the reach around.
Blind hacked the helicopter with one hand.
He did. His left arm's missing. So he does a little reach around with his dynamite arm and digs in there and finds the battery. Oh, God. And man, there's another Machine Man quip. You think it's easy for a machine to crack jokes? When was the last time your toaster cracked a funny? Man, the writing's oh,
It's slowly improving.
it's funny. I at least I'm
Yeah.
laughing at this now. I'm not looking at this going, I hate everybody. We've come a long way
Yeah.
since his creation of like astral beings that they left. We've come a long way since then.
You know what it is? You feel like Machine Man did back then. I hate everyone. Remember when he was ready just to do away with all humanity? That's
Yeah,
where you are
yeah.
now.
The only character I don't hate in this whole book is Pamela Quinn. And I don't
Well,
know
that's
why I
because she's
don't hate her.
barely in it.
She's barely, yeah, you're barely, she's
Yeah.
barely in it. She was trying to be the Lois Lane last issue and she got picked up by a Baron Brimstone and his mooks. Thank God it was a break. There's a contest for Transformers Fabulous Flyer, which I do not remember, but you were actually able to find a someone who had a picture of it. And I want to give a little shout out to Matt Howard on the what group is that? The Transformers Artifacts?
Transformers Artifacts, yeah, and
Yeah.
it's Matt Hovard.
Oh, Matt Hovard. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the
Yeah.
picture. Oh, it is. God, it is Matt Hovard. I apologize, Matt Hovard. Yeah, this is apparently a really cheap little flyer thing you can get in Britain.
Yeah, it came folded up and had some plastic and I don't know if it's cardboard or.
And it looks like the cheap foam stuff like we would get on the little cheap foam planes.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, who knows? We got the only thing we got was really bad G.I. Joe hang glider things that were about the same quality, I'm sure.
And all I could find out about was the Thundercracker one. Like, I don't know if they made any other ones, but
No.
yeah.
What was the
Thundercracker
deal?
seems to be the only one anyone knew about.
There's the art on the flyer is a fist like this.
Right?
I was saying, man, that's not okay.
I know, well, you'd wonder if it was like the F-15 version, as
Yeah.
much, but
I wonder,
nope.
if it's supposed to look like it was like his fist were down on the side or something. I don't know. Still,
Yeah,
cool
even
little
the picture
artifact.
in the comic isn't real clear about what you're looking
No.
at.
No, not at all. Even the picture you got from Matt Hovard is not even in clear.
Oh yeah, well it's still in the package, so.
Yeah, I'm gonna link the picture on the YouTube version of this, which will be up. I apologize, this is gonna be up in the end of the day or so. We just had bad thunderstorms here, so we're recording a little late. But man, we're back to Robot Roundup.
Well, and I finished the puzzle.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
And
I found 10 differences between the puzzle that you have to do. You have to find the 10 differences to get the stunt flyer. And I found 10. There was more than 10, but I just went with the first 10 I found.
Okay.
Yeah, so
I was probably recovering from reading Machine Man, but I'm recovering
yes.
quicker now. It's
I just
during our
like doing the
break.
little puzzles in here,
I
even
know
though
you
I'm way
do.
late for the contest.
Yeah, I'm sure you can get one for like $50 now. but
I
we're
couldn't even
getting it.
find any on eBay, so I don't
Oh
know. They're
wow.
probably it'll be like the Time Warrior watches where it's like $1,000 or something.
They're probably sitting in some warehouse in some rundown like closed store and like in the outskirts of London somewhere. Like no one
Yeah.
cares about it. They're probably threw them all away.
They're like Benny Hill VHS sets and
I
stuff.
love me some Benny Hill though. But then, like I said, it's Robot Roundup time.
Oh,
Okay,
yeah.
I have a little extra to add to this when we get to the end of it, but we're starting off with a team of London designers and engineers unveils MechAndroids. And I kind of, because everything like Mick is I associate with McDonald's.
Same here. I was like, they would get sued over that now. Like,
Oh
you put
yeah.
Mick on anything and
Oh yeah.
they come after you.
But yeah, it's a lifelike robot that they are developing in this article. I found an article in Cybernetic Zoo. I know you found an article as well. It was
Yeah, it
April.
was the same article, I believe.
Yeah, April 22nd, 2012, and they
Yeah.
actually had John Barron created them, and he appeared with Mac. They call him Mac. In the August 1985 edition of Popular Mechanics. So it was like the Android issue. They were like talking all the Android things that people are making and
Yeah, his
developing.
head was a little different in the newer
Yeah.
article. They'd done a
Yeah.
little remodeling on his head.
But I like it. The Mac used like pneumatic valves. to create movements. Like basically he had rubber muscles. That was
yeah.
a little different than you're expecting, honestly, which is kind of neat.
It's and, pretty innovative for the time where everything else was like hydraulics and stuff.
Yeah. He apparently he was using rubber muscles created by Firestone. I mean, they're basically silicone tire muscles, but pretty neat. It looks really good. I'm sure it probably never was able to make it, you know, to do anything productive, but neat taking a different.
He's not going to be dating Sophia anytime soon.
No, no, no.
She's out of his league.
They do a big article on robot turtles. I didn't know what these were, and it kind of reminds me of God, what are those nanobot things you can get stores now? That I think they're nanobugs and whatever. They kind of reminds me of a bigger version of those. And the big revelation is that they are cordless now. They use infrared technology to steer them.
Well, I remember not particularly the robots, but the program it talks about, the logo program.
Mm-hmm.
We had Apple II PCs and not PCs, but you know, Apple II computers in my elementary school, and they were teaching us how to use the logo program to, and the little cursor, they called it a turtle.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so this is, I guess, like the physical representation of that cursor. Okay. So you could run it through different programs, program it to do different like geometric shapes and stuff.
Yeah, like I remember I was using Apple IIs in middle school to do my like yearbook stuff and all that.
Yeah.
So,
That was like the first time I'd ever touched a computer, actually, was doing that. So when I had a little flashback to that, but we didn't have cool robots to program. We just had a little
touch.
Cursor. Yeah.
But there's a story about making robots smarter and developing AI.
I did a little dive into that one. I don't know.
Cool.
Did you look up Marvin Minsky at all?
I did not, so I'm glad you did. I saw the article says the American group is competing with the Japanese group to make fifth generation computers. They hope to build a supercomputer by 1990. Whoa.
Woo-hoo.
34 years ago now, y'all.
Anyways, the far future of the 90s. So, yeah, Marvin Minsky was the co-founder of the AI lab at MIT.
Really cool.
Yeah, he was faculty there. And he was also a consultant on 2001 A Space Odyssey, the movie. And they named the character Victor Kaminsky, was named after him in his honor.
That's really cool.
And then he was mentioned in Arthur C. Clarke's book also as one of the scientists whose breakthroughs paved the way for HAL 9000.
Very cool.
And he was MIT faculty from 1958 until his death in 2016.
Wow. Imagine the advances he saw during that time.
Oh, yeah, that's
especially
that's
towards the end. I mean, you think about how things have changed like since we were kids, but really in the last 10, 15 years, the exponential progress has been so crazy.
I'd really love to pick his brain now, as big as AI has blown up now. Like he missed it by just a few more years. If he could have been around, you know, like 8 years, 9 more years, man, imagine the insights he'd have on it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
We go to the next is a story about, I cannot find a lot about this, a domestic robot called Jasper.
Yeah.
It's supposed to do all kinds of like chores, including shining your shoes. And the creator sounds like a villain, Dr. O. Pilfarlo with the American Institute of Robolinear Technology. But you found something else about him.
Yeah. Well, you know, the robot here, it says it can polish floors and furniture, do your dusting. It can even go pick up your Transformers comics for you. And Dr. O. Pilfarlo is an anagram.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For April Fools.
That's where it's at.
That's the hidden April Fools joke in this.
Nice.
Issue. Yeah.
I asked you if you caught it. I did not. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I was like, O. Pilfarlo. And I looked it up and there's nothing anywhere on this guy. He doesn't exist. And this guy's building robots that can do all that back then. You know, his name would be somewhere on the internet. It's not. I'm like, wait a minute. And
nice.
That's an anagram.
Yeah, that's pretty slick. I like that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That's a really good one. That was a very deep dive on that April Fools.
Yeah.
I got to tell you though, man, we speaking of okay, robot roundup, we came across my wife and I, we tried a new Thai, well, not new, but new to us, Thai restaurant over on the outskirts of town. And I love Thai food, and we always like she's a big fan of Asian food, so it was it kind of worked out together for us, so we could actually check something out new. And by the way, really great place named Lemongrass. There's other things with the restaurant that were odd, but so we're sitting there and we're having a good old time. She's having sushi, I'm having curry, and I hear something make these cat sounds and start making like Asian pop music. And this cat head robot waiter thing has like a digital cat face on it, and it starts carrying going through the restaurant and like dodging things. It's like it's got the same sensors you have on your like the little robot vacuum cleaner, except it's like, I don't know, 4 feet tall. It's got trays in the back of it. It's called a Bellabot. It does something. It's like goes in, stinging this like little Asian pop music, and it stops, goes around chairs, and comes over and delivers the food. And when you get the food, it makes this little happy cat, Asian cat sound, and it goes back to where it's supposed to be. It was the most ridiculous thing. And my wife looked at it, and she looked at me, and I was looking at it. I looked at her, and she's like, "Am I seeing this? Did I just have a break?" And like, no, I don't. So we went and looked online. They were like 15,000 a piece. But yeah, you can apparently rub the ears and it'll do little happy cat anime things. It was bizarre,
Sounds
but
like the robot from Rocky III, like Happy Birthday, Polly.
yeah, except it's really intuitive, and you can program it for your restaurant. And I was looking at a video for a restaurant in Japan called Gusto, where they have these as like delivering all the food, so you have, instead of an underpaid busboy delivering your food when the waiter's too busy, it comes out and like it goes around and it'll stop. If someone pulls a chair out, it'll stop and move around it. It was pretty cool. So I had my little robot roundup yesterday.
Oh man, you need to get photos next time.
I'll put a photo of the Bellabot up on the thing. They're just really neat. There was a video, and like it has a kid rubbing the little plastic ear because it looks like a cat, and it makes this little happy, chibi, like happy face on the digital readout. And yeah, it was neat, but not $15,000 neat, but it was neat.
Yeah, that's like a few like Robosen and Grimlocks and Optimuses and stuff.
I love how you are not thinking like I could get a decent used car for that. No, Robosen
Oh,
Grimlock,
totally. Or
but
the Megatron. Yeah. 5 foot tall Robeson Megatron. That's been 15 grand on
nice.
that. Special orders.
Next page has an advert for part one of the adaptation of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Once again, a little time capsule for this issue.
Well, and it's a time capsule from then because that movie was already a few years old.
That's true, actually. It did. Yeah,
Yeah,
you're
this is
right.
85, so.
Yeah, it was 85 because it's April of 85. Yeah, they probably took a little while to get it over there to the UK. So,
Yeah, or
okay.
the at least the rights
Yeah,
for the, I
that's
guess, the
pretty cool.
comics.
So we're
Oh
back.
man, and did you see Heartbeeps at the end of Robot
I
Roundup
did.
with
I
Andy
did.
Kaufman?
The late Andy Kaufman. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. I mean, I watched that movie like repeatedly when it was on like the movie channel
I don't
as
remember
a
that one at
kid.
all.
I've been trying to find it so I could watch it again with adult eyes, and it's very difficult to find. So I have yet to find it.
Not all movies transfer well to adult eyes. I'm thinking of you, Mac, and me. But
Well, from what I've read, like on trivia pages about it, like Andy Kaufman hated it. He just did it like for the cash. He
oh,
needed the
it's
money.
pretty good then. Okay.
Yeah.
We get back to a little Matt and the Cat, and it has a new character, Oilasim.
Yes.
I was waiting for this to be an anagram of something, actually.
It is.
Okay, what is it?
Okay. Mike Cazabred is the writer and artist for, Matt and the Cat and the Chromobots. His
Okay.
real name is Michaelo, or yeah, Michaelio, okay, Michaelo, yeah, Michaelo. It's MYCHAILO.
Wow.
So it's his name backwards without the H.
Well, if you put two lines around that hyphen, it is an H.
Exactly. The hyphen has replaced the H, but
That's
that's his
interesting.
real first name backwards.
Wow. Okay, that's kind of cool then. I was looking at the name, but that is a random name. It's got to be something else. That makes a lot of sense. And it's perfect because the Darkons are like, "Oh, make sure they don't die. Give them food. See what they need." And he goes, he's talking about, you know, bringing them like all fruits and stuff. Okay, I guess I'll bring him some food. And he goes back and opens the door for the prisoners, and Humph attacks him instantly. He's like
Oh
a
yeah.
he's a nice robot.
Well, they both jump on. Look, Matt's over there getting a couple of hits in too.
Yeah. So that's your Matt and the Cat strip for this month.
Well,
It's
what is mossy meat? I have no idea what mossy meat
I don't
is.
know, man. Maybe that was another inside joke. I don't want to know what mossy meat is. That's
Yeah.
awful.
Well, if there's any listeners from the UK that have any clue what mossy meat is,
Email
then
us.
yeah, we would
Email us or
love to know. Well,
join the
I would.
Discord. That was one of the things, like, it must be like weird alien thing, but it's probably, you know, like we always laugh about spotted dick.
I was about to say, yeah. I mean, if spotted dick is food over there, then mossy meat, you know, I have no idea.
Email us at morethanmeetsthesguys@gmail.com and let us know, or join the Discord in the show notes. We
Send that
want
one to
to
Ed Hates Transformers.
know, because we all know Ed eats Transformers. Because
He's gonna hate mossy meat next.
it's probably like delicious or something. It's probably not. Never mind. But we get back to X-51, who has funneled energy from the helicopter battery and electrified the entire hull.
Yeah, so he like uses the helicopter to tase,
Yeah.
you know,
Brimstone.
Fire and Brimstone, and it's like, don't you have the electricity in yourself to do that? I mean, you would think whatever's in the battery for the helicopter.
Maybe it's his left arm had the battery. I don't
Right? I don't know,
know. He
man.
does other things. And so
He could have just punched Brimstone.
he could have. He really
It'd
should
been
have.
easier than this.
But so this is where I get into the whole who's flying the helicopter.
Yeah.
Okay, instead of landing, he has the police helicopter meets Brimstone's helicopter in the midair to transfer Brimstone over. Never lands. It's in the air.
Yeah, I mean, does he send like a leg over to pick up the cop and float him back over to the, I mean, and it's all off panel. So, you know,
Yeah.
probably the most interesting part of the story is just
It's
completely
an
untouched.
afterthought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I man, I gotta
And
say,
dismantling the Salmac, like all
yeah,
that,
we talked
yeah.
like it was an afterthought. But he then goes to check on the Pamela. He's like, oh good, she's fine. But he can't, he kind of panics because he cannot radio his left arm. Someone's moved it away. And
You know,
there's
and
this.
it I was almost expecting her to be held hostage. You look at the picture
Oh
where he's
yeah.
looking down on her, it looks like she's being held hostage.
It looks like a cult is down there holding her hostage or something.
Right, but she's just
Weird,
getting like a shoulder massage or something. I don't
man. Yeah, but someone's taken the arm and hidden it from X-51.
Yeah, and he can't even contact it with a radio, so
I swear we're gonna end up with Gears is gonna give him like a Armatron arm from like an old Radio Shack set.
oh yeah.
And like, you know, like he had that unicycle wheel.
His Bluetooth cannot connect right now, so
Check the other device to see if it has power.
yep. He
That's
can't
it, man.
pair.
Yeah. That's our X-51, and I am so happy that Baron Brimstone and the Sinister Satan Squad is gone.
They
But
really didn't live up to the Sinister Satan Squad
I
name. I
was
mean,
hoping for something really cool out of the Sinister Satan Squad, and I was disappointed. I mean, Marston was Snake Marston was okay. Yeah, Hammer Harrison, whatever.
yeah, Hammer Harrison.
Hammer Harrison was terrible. He except he what he punched Pamela in the face.
You know, and
He's
Baron
got he's got
Brimstone's like when you order Doctor Strange off a wish, you get
yeah.
Baron Brimstone.
He, oh God, Hammer Harrison and the old you know Bobby Brown and Whitney thing going on. He's like he punches women and he captures them and. It was awful.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, I this is the best issue of so far of it. Well, I guess
Well,
half issue.
and you know, then we got a lead in for the next story from Machine Man, and it's all
Yeah.
about his quest to basically find his arm.
Is that movie My Left Arm?
Oh yeah. Well,
My
my left foot.
left foot. My left
Well,
arm.
and like later in Transformers, there's like the Matrix quest and all that.
Yeah.
And there's a joke, I want to say it was Chrome Dome makes, as he's in the repair bay. And he's like, I told Prime, you know, hang the Matrix quest. How about a leg quest? Because his leg's missing. So it's like,
Nice. This
that's
was
what this definitely reminded me. I was like, oh boy, so we're going to be looking for his missing arm.
yeah.
The person who
Maybe.
stole it, would that be the one-arm bandit?
It was a one-armed man.
It was a one-arm man.
I don't care who it
Yeah.
was. You're coming with me. Turn yourself in. Oh,
No, he's literally just one arm.
that's what we need. Tommy Lee Jones after this. Oh yeah. So yeah, that's our issue of Transformers number 14.
Yeah,
And
and the ad on the back of the comic is still like the same, like what, six or seven Transformers?
yep, it is. It
They
is. It is.
really took their time getting like the rest of like wave one out to them.
Yeah, it was done the square thing, like Hollywood squares of Transformers.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's whatever. It's still early over there. I'm really enjoying I'm enjoying Machine Man better now. You said I would, and I did. Marv Wolfman, I still have to question because the guy who brought us really good issues of DC Comics.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's
Praises.
done some amazing work. And it's just, I guess, you know, I don't know.
You have to start somewhere, right?
Well, I'm pretty sure he was established before this, because he was doing like horror comics and stuff too
Oh, that's right, he
before this.
was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what the dynamic is going on with, you know,
You
Machine
know,
Man.
I always attribute it to something like this. Whenever I had to go and take I went back to college and I had to take intro to biology. And the head of the department I was teaching intro to biology, and you realize he didn't want to do it. It was like, all right, it's my turn. I'll do this class for these idiots who don't understand science. So, you know, I took it and I'm like, oh God, this is stupid and easy. So yeah, I should have taken just biology one, but I didn't. I took intro, and you could tell he didn't want to be there. So this, I feel like Wolfman's like, oh yeah, I guess I'll write Machine Man. Let me look at these old, you know, Silver Age comics and find some bad dialogue.
Oh yeah, he picks it up from Kirby.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, somebody offered you a job. Hey, would you like to pick up Jack Kirby's comic? You're like, yeah. You know? But oh, you get to work with Ditko. Oh, okay.
Oh
You
God,
know,
yes.
he's got like some, you know, really classic artists and writers here going to jump in with, and
And you end up with this. Okay, well, actually, that's
yeah.
kind of funny thinking about it. I think about the energy beings that Machine Man created. It had the power wobbly around him. Is very Jack Kirby.
Oh yeah, the Kirby crackles.
The Kirby crackles. I didn't put that together until just now. Well.
And yeah, it's like this is a labor of love. Like they didn't want to just let this die.
Somebody.
But
Some editor's son loved this character and like, come on, come on, make it good. So
if
here
you
we
ever
are.
get like Jim Shooter or Marv Wolfman on the show, you need to like ask him about what was the deal with Machine Man? Come on. What's the
I
truth
reached
on
out
this?
before. I'll try reaching out again.
Yeah, because I would love to know, because it gets really good later. I mean, it really comes into its own, but it, you know, it struggles a little bit here.
Yeah, I actually started talking to someone. He goes online by the name Reverend Ruin. He's worked with a lot of people in the industry. He's worked in comics. He does really good line art, actually. He's told me some good facts about John Ridgway. Ridgway can put out a page in a day, like the amount of detail he does.
Yeah.
John Ridgway is like, yeah, I could do this. Sure, pumps
And that
out
was like full color. Like he'd do it all.
in a day.
Yeah.
And you know, like you can see, like the guy who I was talking to, we actually looked like he looked up to Ridgway. His style was really nice, using negative areas and you know nice shadows. So yeah, I mean the people who were in this business, they all knew each other. And it was funny talking to him about Machine Man, and he was like, "Oh my God, I can't understand." And oh my gosh, what I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of the comic writer, British comic writer. He worked on, God, I'll think about it. Anyways, he used Machine Man in Next Wave, which you showed me pictures of Next Wave where X51's the fake X51. He's got sunglasses and a trench coat.
Yeah, the imposter.
Yeah, he looks like some edgy 90s villain. But it's a lot more fun. He got really much better in that.
He looks kind of like X51 cosplaying as Gambit.
He kind of does, actually. But he's a lot more fun. He's a jerk.
Yeah, he's a jerk, and he's like dirty.
Yeah, he really is.
What I've heard, they actually based that one a lot on Bender.
I could see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great. Actually, I like that version of X51. And he looks like he's starting down the road right now.
I'm going to make my own Machine Man comic with hookers and blackjack. And they did.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. It was kind of neat seeing that. I'm trying to see if I can find the name of the flipping writer I was trying to think of. Let's see, writer Warren Ellis.
Thank you.
Warren Ellis, apparently, Warren Ellis used to be really good. Then he started basically using ideas from people he was mentoring at the end, and he kind of became a kind of crappy guy. But back then, Warren Ellis was doing a lot of good stuff, and he brought in Machine Man because he liked the character so much into his next wave comic. So yeah, nowadays he's not doing as well, but I'm a big fan of Warren Ellis just for like things he did with Hellblazer. Huge fan of that stuff.
You know, it seemed almost like with this one that they were like pushing for like a toy of Machine Man with all the little gimmicks. I'm like,
yeah,
that might have been like the best Secret Wars toy ever. If
yeah, you're not wrong.
The spinning torso and the extendable limbs, and I mean,
it'd be great to like that one a He-Man character. You like you spin him until he starts popping, and you just let him go, and he starts spinning. What was it? Which toy is that?
Oh,
you turn his waist is like a
was there was the was it Twistoid?
Maybe, but
there was that one. There was Cyclone that you'd spin the dial on his waist, and he would.
Maybe
spin.
I'm thinking like the I'm thinking of the He-Man, like the battle action He-Man thing where you'd turn him so he popped, and you'd hit the button on him, and he'd spin with like thing on his hand. I think that's what it was. Anyways, I can't remember. It's been a while.
Oh, like the flying fist He-Man and all that.
Yeah,
like
that kind of
spinning stuff on him. Yeah,
it's like you twist him until he starts popping, like the pullback racer cars. They start popping. They you realize you've done it too tight.
then it breaks.
Yep. Then it breaks. So yeah, anyways, guys, we are going to be back next time with issue number 15, and we will see what happens when the Decepticons come across Starscream and the Autobots come across Brawn, who's pretty violent.
Well, he told him he's not going back to the Ark unless he goes in pieces. So
you can't put me back in that Ark.
He is ready to go.
Yeah, he is, and considering he can take out probably most of the Autobots with the strength alone, yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Starscream's gonna go back in pieces no matter what because what he did to Ravage, and Machine Man is gonna start. I guess he's gonna join a cult with Pamela.
Well, he's already in pieces. He's lost one of his pieces.
Yeah. I can't wait till Gears gives him like a claw. He's like he's gonna have a claw machine arm. Like I found
that'd be funny.
I used to have a claw machine. I used to make my money on this. So here you go. You can use it.
Wacky mannequin arm or something. You know,
Machine Man will have to put his arm over things and drop it, and like have no grip and try to pull it up.
Yeah, it keeps dropping it like halfway. Almost.
Oh, put another quarter in me. I'll get it. yeah. God, I can't wait for that. Anyways, thanks everyone for being here. Like I was saying earlier in the episode, if you listen this long, thank you so much. give us try to give us a review, give some stars on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever you listen on. If you checking us on YouTube, give us a follow, give us a like, leave some comments, email us at morethanmeetstheseguys@gmail.com or join the Discord, which is in the show notes. We like to talk to people about what's going on, and we'll see you next time. So thanks for being here, everyone, and Boo, thanks again for being here with me on this issue.
Oh, yeah, always glad to be here.
All right, y'all. Take it easy and see you next time.
Bye.
Worthy Mises Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.